Welcome to My BFF at Mom Your Business. We are serious about helping and celebrating Black female entrepreneurs. We're on a mission to move Black female founders from bootstrapping to bankability. For too long, Black female founders have gone unnoticed. We are 50% of all entrepreneurs, yet the least funded. Black female founders are everywhere. We are your store owners, hairdressers, fashionistas, manufacturers, wives, mothers, and so much more. The Founders to Funders Cultivating Female Startups Accelerator provides BFFs access to investors, experts, and mentors in one supportive and growing community. So if you're serious about supporting Black women, listen to each episode, share their stories, buy their products, and be sure to follow them on social media. Visit our website and donate to Founders to Funders, where we are rewriting the narrative of Black female entrepreneurs. On today's show, we will be talking with Ariane Long, Chief Estrogen Officer at Fenley. Is the self-proclaimed Chief Estrogen Officer at High-Tech Feminine, at Fenley, a high-tech feminine care company that she started in 2016 after being diagnosed with a cervical tumor linked to additives in popular products. Fenley increases access to natural and organic hygiene products through a high-tech dispensary found in restrooms at schools, hotels, hospitals, and other organizations. Some people go through their entire lives without disrupting the status quo, and then you come across a unicorn, started college at 15, decoded the genetic makeup of anthrax by 17, and disrupted a multi-billion dollar feminine care industry before 30. That is Miss Ariane Long, and we are happy to have her. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to talk to you because your story, we've talked before, and just hearing your story is so powerful. But I want to start with you telling our audience who you are and why you do what you do.
Yes. So I'm Ariane Long. I'm the founder and chief estrogen officer, or CEO at Fenley. And I do what I love because I am passionate about increasing access to natural and organic products. I started Fenley after being diagnosed with a tumor that was linked directly to chemicals in the feminine care products that I was using. And when I couldn't find an option that was organic, eco-friendly, sustainable for the environment, I set off to form and launch my own brand that is now being distributed in restrooms around the country through a first-of-its-kind dispenser that allows you to walk into that bathroom and wave hello to get free organic feminine care from Fenley.
That is absolutely amazing. So, Ariane, talk to me about your journey of, you know, getting the product into these places and into the hands, really, of women that need it, that primarily look like you and I.
Sure. So Fenley was launched as a period subscription box, which means that we started as a company that was manufacturing organic pads, panty liners, and other products and selling them to women on a monthly basis. What we found out was that there was a major need for this, and especially in our communities. The other thing that was really interesting to me was that I always thought that Fenley could be a company that profits both people and planet through supporting people who could afford to purchase our products, but also people who couldn't. And so we launched in 2015 to like critical acclaim across the country. We went viral a few times and we scaled to more than 5,000 women purchasing our products every month. And then unfortunately the unimaginable happened. I ended up losing my daughter Sage to late term stillbirth at the end of my pregnancy, a completely healthy pregnancy that was free from complications. And so after being on life support and nearly losing my life, I knew that I would definitely use Fenley as a vehicle for not only providing the product, but also the education while supporting those who can afford and those who can't. So our dispenser, interestingly enough, was kind of birthed out of that. During the pandemic, the world shut down. We all stood still. And here I was with a new baby, a rainbow baby, 2 years after stillbirth. But those offices, those organizations closing down, gave me the ammo that I needed to get up and pick my baby and go see how restrooms were providing feminine care. I was seeing stainless steel dispensers that were antiquated, that required a quarter. And I knew then that I had everything I needed to disrupt this industry, file a patent, design my own like super sexy smart dispenser, and then figure out how to take my drawing into becoming an actual physical product. So it was a long road, but it was a lot of teeny tiny micro steps that, you know, day by day, when you look at, nothing changes, but when you look back over the course of a week, a month, everything looks different.
That is just so amazing to me, because so many, you know, your journey is birthed out of your own experiences. And you and I were talking briefly before we came on to record about this being maternal care week or month. And we know the disparities. Talk about the disparities of the care, maternal care of Black women, and how it relates to the education that you've incorporated into your business model.
Sure. And so it's interesting. Prior to getting pregnant with my daughter, I knew that the stats in this country for Black women in pregnancy were horrible. So I sought out a Black female doctor with 2 degrees from Yale and was still ignored. So in this country, Black women are 3 to 6 times more likely to die in pregnancy and labor and in the first year after delivery. These stats cross all socioeconomic lines and have touched women of color like Kim Kardashian, Beyonce, Serena Williams, and then also your average everyday citizen. Some of it is not having access to adequate healthcare. Much of it is having to experience institutional racism and systemic racism and bias in healthcare. I am a Black mom who was pre-med. I mean, I started college at 15. I know what the hell I'm talking about. Yet, when I came complaining of pain, I was not believed. And even when I was diagnosed to have a simple UTI, we've all had one at one point or another, I was asked to pee in a cup, and that cup was never sent to a lab for testing. And so like with my daughter, I ended up with E. coli sepsis, meaning that E. coli made its way from that bladder infection to my kidneys, to my blood, and to my organs. And so I went into labor with 107 fever. My blood didn't clot. I had heart, liver, kidney failure, and then respiratory failure, which is why I was placed on life support. What I had killed 60% of people that endure it. And then for the people who survive, they don't have limbs. Most people with sepsis, depending on if it's E. coli or staph, they don't have fingers and toes. And so the fact that I was able to not only come out of that and recover, but make a full, healthy recovery enough to have another baby, another great pregnancy, it was crazy. But during Black Maternal Health Week, I'm constantly reminded to focus on the work that moves the needle forward and increasing the education. So for instance, after I lost my daughter, I did a ton of research, because at first we weren't sure if this was like clear medical negligence. And what happened was I discovered that things like baby aspirin were starting to be seen as a wonder drug in pregnancy, especially for Black moms, cutting or delaying up to 90% of complications. And I wanted to know, why aren't Black moms being told this? Why was I the only one that was offered aspirin every day in my pregnancy? You know, and so with that, Femly offers QR codes on each product, on each dispenser, so that when you find us in a restroom, on a shelf, or online, you can scan these codes to unlock the same information that we have. And at the very least, you are now armed with data that you can go and ask your doctor. And 9 times out of 10, we're seeing that patients and women are going to their doctor asking for certain testing, asking for certain things, and the doctor saying, where did you get that info? I had to look it up and corroborate it, and you're spot on. Because that's what I had to do for me with my son. I had to advocate for myself. And so that's what we really care about. It's products, it's access, it's education, it's information, and it's community.
Yeah, I love this inclusive model that you have totally created. Tell us where you are in the business now, where the products are, where the dispensary is located, what has been the most successful part of that journey, getting the dispensary where they are accessible.
And so for me, it was interesting because in doing all of the manufacturing work to create the dispenser, I was green behind the ears. I literally did not know the title of the person that could turn my drawing into a thing. I didn't know how much it would cost. And so I started Googling, and I ended up creating like a little checklist of like, okay, this is the title that I need. Maybe this person is called an engineer. Maybe they're a product designer. And I started posting on LinkedIn and asking my network, like, hey, if I wanted to create a bicycle from scratch that was new and innovative, who would I need? And of course, people always want to help. So you have to open your mouth and ask for help. And people gave me some ideas, and I ended up running into the guys that created a Peloton-like product. Later, I met the guys that helped to do the Fitbit, the GoPro camera. And so I realized that like these are product designers. They'll take my concept into an actual prototype, which would be the first iteration or the first physical unit. What everybody told me was that, Ariane, you can draw like hell. This is a gorgeous drawing, but you're not an engineer. So be prepared for us to change some elements of it just to make it, you know, engineering sound. And it was cool because weeks later they came back and they were like, I don't know how you did it, but you are the first product designed by a non-product designer where we didn't change a thing. And so wow. This dispenser allows you to walk up and wave hello to get the products. There's the scannable artificial intelligence powered QR codes to give you access to information and more. There's Braille on it that's ADA compliant for people who are visually impaired. It makes life easier for janitorial teams, for inventory. It makes life easier for consumers who need a free pad or a tampon to hold them down. Like, we thought of everything. And I think that in the grand scheme of prep and what it means to be inclusive and Black women who create culture and drive culture all over the world, we need to be empowered to know that we might not always have all the answers, but that we can do it anyway. We can do it scared. Mm. We can do it broke. We can do it, you know, with anxiety. We can do it as mothers. We do it. And I did that. I did that with a newborn with little money and all of the time in the world because of the pandemic. And now I'm looking back and, you know, the companies like mine that have had dispensers for hundreds of years are worth billions. And I'm now the only certified woman-owned and certified minority woman-owned business in the country with a smart dispenser. So you just have to be empowered to like craft that business plan and stick to it and open your mind to the people that really want to pour into you, because folks are out there. I have champions every day whose sole focus is to just move obstacles out of my way. You know, you have to have people like that in your corner who are not just there for the advice or for the likes and the aesthetic and the feels and the vibes. People who are there to say, oh, you're having a problem with X, you need this. Here, let me fly you here. You can't afford it. Let me send you, you know? And so that's an important lesson that I've learned over the last few years with this.
Everybody has to have.
And then for your question on 1,000%, and for your question on where they can be found, sell this dispenser and the accompanying pads and tampons into restrooms at hospitals, hotels, school systems. We want to be anywhere that somebody with a vagina would find themselves without access to feminine care.
Yes. So Ariel, let me ask you this. What is your superpower?
My superpower is connecting with people. Like, I'm totally, when I was younger, I was like the kid that always got like most likely to succeed, best dressed, or like super talkative, you know? But I feel like all the kids that got super talkative have like spoken their way into rooms, whether it be through their career, through a business, through real estate. Like, all of us that were chatty Cathys are now out here winning. And so it's beautiful.
Yes, that would be me too. That was always on every report card. Tanya is talkative. She's smart. She's this, you know, but she just keeps talking. And that's how you build community. You have not because you ask not. So you have to definitely be a talker if you are going to, make it in this world, in this business, this industry, this whatever it is that you are doing. You're it. You know, you have to open up your mouth. So I feel that for sure. Last couple questions. One is, what does being a Black female founder mean to you?
Being a Black female founder to me means that I am navigating through life, not only in this country, but across the world, and a different lived experience with like one combined community. The Black female experience here is one that can sometimes be heavy, but I do know that there's a certain nuance and a certain secret sauce that we carry each day that we may not even recognize. Like, we have the only community where what's good could mean what's going on with you. Are you hungry? Are you fine? Or how does the food taste? Like, we have our own language. And so I love it. I love being a Black woman. I love being a Black female founder. I love knowing that we are sometimes the underdog, but we consistently rise above and we do it effortlessly with edge control and savvy. And so I'm here for it.
Yes, edge control and savvy. I like that. Yes. One final question. Other than capital, what kind of help do you need to continue to grow Femly?
1,000%. So right now we are accepting introductions into school systems, colleges, hotels, and other organizations where people think we need to be. On our website, femly.com, F-E-M-L-Y.com, there is a form where you can click the button that says bring Femly to a restroom or contact our team. And you can submit any location. And then what that does is that notifies our sales team to go ahead and reach out to that organization and partner with them. And so our community has been so vibrant. We have had 3,200 nominations. And we are currently working through relationships with hospitals, airports, and more because of people like you and because of people like your listeners. And so that's definitely how people can help. And the other way that you can help outside of nominating a potential customer for us is through following on social. We love to hear feedback and figure out what the things are that we should be doing. And then the other thing is we're going to start moving forward with different engagement pieces from live events to beyond.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Irene. This has been wonderful. As I said during the intro, I love your story. I love disruptors, and you have totally disrupted this industry, and it is absolutely amazing. Tell the people where they can find you on social, as well as the website.
Absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram at Arion K Long, A-R-I-O-N, K Long, at that tag. And then on LinkedIn, I am Arion Long. I should be like the only one in the country. As far as Femly, we are at Femly on Instagram. We're Femly Brand on Facebook and Twitter. And of course, our website is www.femly.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Arion. It has been an absolute pleasure talking with you. And I look forward to you continue to do even bigger and better things to disrupt this industry and the maternal care of women all across this world. So thank you again for your time. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Stop this.